T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
6:04 on a Sunday evening. Steve Thompson here. Sports Sunday continues. Friendly reminder, follow us on Twitter at WCCR Radio, because tomorrow we'll have details on how to win Stones tickets. That's right, the Rolling Stones are coming to town, and you could win them through our Twitter account. Plus, at 7:05 tomorrow morning, Dave Lee will tell you another way you can win. Tickets go on sale Valentine's Day at 10 a.m., one of the big concert events of the summer, and we have a chance for you to win tickets. Once again, follow us on Twitter at WCCO Radio. Quiet day in sports locally, with some exceptions. Over at the U, big wrestling match earlier today at Maturi Pavilion, and Penn State took down Minnesota 31-10 today. The Nittany Lions, ranked number 2 in the country, once again win big 31-10. Penn State beats Minnesota on the mat. Meanwhile, Golden Gopher women's hockey, they swept at Bemidji State. Golden Gopher men's hockey earned a split over the weekend at 3M Arena at Mariucci. They beat the Spartans Friday night before falling to Sparty on Saturday night. Golden Gopher men, they lost at Penn State in front of a sellout crowd at the Jordan Center. Hard to believe they were able to sell that joint out, but they did. The Gophers are idle until next Sunday when they take on Iowa. Meanwhile, the Golden Gopher women, they host Michigan at the Barn tomorrow night at 6. They're at Ohio State on Thursday night. So you're up to date. Wild hockey, they're at home tonight. Colorado Avalanche, they'll drop the puck at about 6:40 tonight. That game on NBC Sportsnet. Timberwolves on the road. They are at Toronto. Quick update on the golf PGA Tour. Nick Taylor, your winner at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am at 19 under par, beat Kevin Streelman by 4, Phil Mickelson by 5 today. So Nick Taylor, your winner. But Kevin Streelman teamed up with Larry Fitzgerald Jr. to win the Pro-Am. How about that? And it looks like Larry Fitzgerald Jr. is going to play another year with the Arizona Cardinals. At least that's what it sounds like. And, of course, the Daytona 500 down in Florida 1 week from today, the Great American Race. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. will be on the pole. He turned a lap, a 194.582, to put his Chevy Camaro on the pole for next Sunday's race. So there you go, some of the sports headlines. And pleased to be joined by Kevin Lynch, Fox Sports North Timberwolves analyst. And Kevin, a quiet week for the Timberwolves. Not a lot going on, but we thought we'd get your thoughts on it anyway. How you been, Kev?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, good to visit with you. First of all, I brought it up earlier in the day. You and I had made a couple of trips together to Penn State to see the Gophers play once upon a time. And I find it hard to believe they were able to sell out that building. Now, I know Penn State's a good team, and they beat Minnesota yesterday, but when I walked into that building, it had no feel of a college arena whatsoever. And the fact that they were able to sell it out for the first time in like 9 years, pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's it's funny. Like when we were doing those games with on the radio, some of those newer, like Ohio State had a newer one at that time. Wisconsin Kohl Center was newer and a bit new, and the place in Penn State. My memory of that place was it was new, it was big, it was like a big NBA arena, and they would have, it'd be a tenth full or something back in those days. So, that's good. I mean, this is the first game they sold out was against Minnesota, was yesterday?
Or yeah, well, the first game in like 9 years. They sold out in that building, and they have a pretty good team, and I get it. People finally showed up, but yeah, I was just amazed that, they, they were able to sell that thing out. And I was surprised to learn it only seats like 16,000. It felt really? To me when we were there, and I believe we were there twice. Maybe it was just once. I can't remember. But we were out in State College. And when I walked into that building for shoot around, I was thinking to myself, this is nuts. Why is Penn State playing in here? Anyway, just really a weird atmosphere. But they've really turned it around. And, you know, that's, once again, a really good team. I was pretty impressed. The Gophers got back into it. I know you were getting ready for the Timberwolves game and how much you saw of it, Kev, but, you know, Penn State's pretty solid.
Yeah, I watched, you know, it was a couple hours. They must have played yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
I was getting ready for the Wolves last night. But I watched like the last, I don't even know, maybe 2 minutes of the Gopher game, and they were down 8-9 points, something like that. And they were trying to get back into it. And in fact, I think when Minnesota played these guys at Williams Arena, you know, a month ago or whatever it was, I think Aturu kind of was mixing it up with a couple of the big guys for Penn State. So they're a little feisty. But I think Aturu, I didn't look at the numbers yet.
Yeah, 32. Yeah, he had 32.
Did he really?
Yeah. Yeah, he had a big game, like 30. Yeah, he had a big double-double and was great. Just didn't get a whole lot of help. There's not a lot of depth for the Gophers, and now they get Iowa at home in a week, and that's a big game, and they certainly still have a shot to get to the tournament, and winning games at home is a big part of it. But, you know, Kev, I don't know if I've ever seen this, and, you know, you played in the NBA, you played in Europe. You've been a big sports fan your entire life, and we talked about it quite a bit yesterday with Eric. I don't know if I've ever seen a team make this many changes in the middle of a season, and what the Timberwolves went through this week. It really started with that trade when they sent Jeff Teague to Atlanta, but what happened this week is really unusual in big-time pro sports. And the Timberwolves were able to bring in guys. One of the key guys they brought in, D'Angelo Russell, didn't even play on Saturday night. And, oh, by the way, the Timberwolves demolished one of the best teams in the NBA. Just really a crazy week.
Yeah, you know, I typically when team NBA teams or, you know, professional teams, are they kind of gut the roster to change everything, they do it in the off season when you're not dealing with games in a season. And so, you know, for an NBA team, that would be mostly like July, like after the draft, like July and August, you would kind of go down that route of kind of redoing your roster. But maybe the fact that, you know, the Wolves took advantage of the fact that half the teams in the NBA are gearing up, they're in the playoffs. And then there's a few extra teams trying to get into the playoffs. So everybody's kind of distracted as far as getting their team ready to, make that kind of postseason push, that maybe the Wolves and Gerson Rosas kind of took advantage of that and were able to make some deals when many other teams are not in the mode of changing rosters too much. I mean, even I get the deadline was right there, but a lot of the teams are kind of focused on what their team is doing. So, I don't know, maybe that kind of helped the Wolves, the fact that a lot of teams are kind of thinking about their actual team as opposed to making a lot of changes like that. So, I mean, this will all play out. We'll see if it's just one game, and I guess this will all play out. We'll find out over time whether all these moves were good moves. But what happened last night was a complete shocker for everybody who's a Timberwolves fan. You got to admit, I thought they might get blitzed by the Clippers and lose big, but I mean, they kicked the crap out of them, and it was a lot of, I mean, it was just funny. It was almost like humorous to me.
Yeah, and it's not like it was they were playing a bad NBA team or a team that's already mailed it in, or what's going on with Golden State, or, you know, they've had a miserable year, or a bad team from the East coming in here. You know, the LA Clippers could legitimately win the NBA title in June. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, Kawhi Leonard, I mean, this is a really good team. Doc Rivers, the coach, they're solid, and they gave up 81 to the Timberwolves in the first half, and they really never got close. Anytime the Clippers would get on a little run and maybe score 5 points in a row, you know, the Timberwolves had an answer, and typically it was a three. 26 made threes last night.
Yeah, it's a little bit unexplainable. I mean, you know, sometimes you can I'm sure Ryan Saunders and the coaching staff, I mean, they probably went into that game last night they told all these guys, the whole team, just like, hey, you know, we're not going to sit here and weigh you down with details of certain schemes, and we're not going to try to implement 15 different plays on offense. I mean, I would like to think they just kind of said, hey, guys, go out there, have some fun, play your butts off, and we'll just run a couple different plays and focus on that, and let's just play hard. And sometimes it's taking the simple approach like that is a good thing. Plus, the Wolves got off to a good start. You know, Beasley hit a couple threes. Towns hit a quick three. The crowd got into it. And then everybody just rolled over on top of the Clippers. So it was pretty good.
Yeah, and we expected and had heard that ticket sales were brisk for the game last night in the wake of all the moves. But then in the afternoon, Alan Horton sent out a tweet and word got out that D'Angelo Russell wouldn't play in the game. And I thought that might, you know, dampen enthusiasm. Yeah. But I suppose all these guys coming in, you brought up Beasley and the other players that saw minutes last night, you know, they're in a new situation. You know, they're excited that they want to make a good impression. And it all worked out, and the shots started falling, and they didn't stop falling all night. And I thought, even though the Timberwolves were up and had scored 81 at the half, that if there's any team in the NBA that could come back and spoil the night, it would be the LA Clippers.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing at halftime. It's like, oh, well, when's the other shoe going to drop?
Sure.
And the Wolves are just going to bottom out, and the energy is going to sink away, and the Clippers are going to cut it to like 8 points. You know, midway through the third quarter, and then you're done. I mean, you're just done. But it never happened. The Wolves were able to make enough plays when the Clippers finally did kind of make a little bit of a run or two, like you said. They win by 27. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like the Clippers probably sat in that locker room last night after the game was done, and they're thinking, like, dazed and confused, like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
We got beat. We got just trounced on by the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they were probably like scratching their heads, can't figure it out. You know, trying to process what took place. And hey, hand it to the Wolves, man. It was like it came out of nowhere, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and they have a handful of guys, you know, on the roster that just got to town. You know, I mean, you know, it's just extraordinary. And what happened at the press conference and all those new players being, you know, unveiled and introduced to the media and the public at City Center, and then to kind of turn the page and get that big victory on a Saturday night. One thing we do know about the NBA, they go on the road. They're in Toronto tonight getting ready for a game against a very good Raptors team tomorrow night. And the season goes on, then all of a sudden you get into the All-Star break, and the timing might be pretty good for this group to kind of get everybody together. I know they're going to go their separate ways and have some time off, but it'll probably be helpful to get into the gym at Mayo Clinic Square and try and figure some things out for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, that would never happen. I mean, what they should do is just say, hey, guys, everybody stick around here for this open week. We're just going to practice.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's not going to work with, you know, NBA players. They're going to take off and go wherever. But hopefully they can, you know, they put a couple practices together at the end of the All-Star break. Everybody comes back a day or two sooner so they can sit and get ready for the last 30 games of the season. I mean, it should be, if anything, they might, I don't know how many games are going to win the last 30 games here, 31 games or whatever it is. But, you know, I think the fans just want this team to show some signs that there's hope, you know, to finish off this year and then move it into next year, too. So, and make it entertaining, too. Beat some teams, play better than what we've seen the last 2 months. And I think everybody will feel you know, a bit more optimistic about where everything is going.
Yeah, and there are a lot of pieces in this, and there's so much focus on D'Angelo Russell, and, you know, he is a gifted scorer, but he has bounced around so far in his NBA career, and there are concerns about the fact that, you know, defensively, and the defensive numbers aren't very good. That's been the knock on Karl-Anthony Towns. But there are other guys that brought in that aren't getting as many headlines that show the potential of being maybe able to change the attitude. For instance, James Johnson, here's a guy, you know, plays with a bit of an edge and showed that last night at Target Center. He's a guy that could help bring maybe some changes in how this team plays defensively and add a little toughness.
Yeah, that's, you know, just watching the Wolves play since the start of this season, it's just like, God, they're just physically, you know, they're a short team. They don't have much size and they don't have much physical toughness, and they would just get manhandled at so many different positions, including Towns. I mean, Towns is an undersized center. He's about, I know they list him as taller, but he's about 6'10". And really, for an NBA center, that's on the shorter side. And he gets pushed. He's really talented, offensively especially, but he gets pushed around. So, you know, to get a guy like James Johnson, who does have some edge, he's approved. He's a little bit older. He's 32. It looks like he still has some gas in the tank, and he can play. And he's tough, and he's a guy that's, you know, is going to get a good crack to really stay in that rotation, maybe even start at some point. So, but they need more than just, like, one guy like that. They need a few more. So, I mean, this whole rebuild or gutting of the roster is not done. More has to take place come this summer after the draft, too. So this is not the end of it. This is obviously a lot of moves and a lot of changes. But they're more. This team needs more than what they just did over the deadline here. So it's more is coming this summer.
Yeah, for sure. This is just the beginning of Garrison Rosas and his remake of the roster. Another guy who's come in and, you know, said a lot and really talked a lot and really backed it up last night. Malik Beasley is really an interesting part of all of this because there is so much focus on D'Angelo Russell. But it's guys like Beasley that came over in this deal that, you know, can't score it from the perimeter. He certainly showed that last night. This guy has some upside, and he's still a very young player.
Yeah, what is he, 23, 24, Beasley is. And yeah, I mean, I think he – and this is – you know, I'm kind of complimenting the Denver Nuggets, but they just have a lot of talent in Denver, and he was a victim, I think, of all their talent, you know, with their young guys with the Nuggets. So he just didn't play as much. And so I get the sense that he is just kind of – he's going to get unleashed here in Minnesota. He played like he was getting unleashed last night, and he's out to – I mean, I think, Steve, he turned down – I think it was early this year or last year, he turned down a 3-year, $33 million contract that the Nuggets had offered him. And because he just thinks he wants to play, he wants to be one of the main players on whatever team. Well, now he's here, and he's turning down contracts like that because he thinks there's something bigger out there for him. So, and he's going to get his shot here. And he played like – he got unleashed from purgatory or something. And I would not be surprised if he's really one of the bright spots when the season ends. And these last 30 games, he's going to be out with a chip on his shoulder looking to prove that you know, he could be a starting shooting guard in this league. And, yeah, he was terrific last night. He looks like a lot of fun to watch.
Well, and Kevin, those are the kind of guys you need to find. If you're going to compete and get back into the mix at some point as a playoff team, you need a guy like that who has something to prove and is hungry every night and is going to bring it every night. And if there's a knock on Andrew Wiggins, that was it. Talented guy. And over the course of his Timberwolves career, you can think of a lot of games where it's like, wow, this guy is phenomenal. And then other nights it's like, did he play? You know,
exactly. I mean, there's how many games did Wiggins play where it's just like, you know, stretches of 20 minutes would go by of game time, and it's like you forgot that he was out there. And I mean, this always makes me laugh. You know, when I through the last 5.5, 6 years, and Wiggins was playing for the Wolves, you know, people would say, you know, God, this guy is, these guys got amazing, Wiggins has got amazing talent, unbelievable talent. Why is the coaches not getting it, you know, maximizing what he can do? And I'd always think, wait a minute. I never saw Wiggins as unbelievably talented or amazingly. He didn't have that kind of talent. He's not a perennial all-star. He's not a first option or, for that matter, a second option on a winning team. Wiggins had good talent. He had, you know, he's a good athlete, good talent. He's a good scorer, but that's all he was. And I get that they, you know, he was hyped and marketed like he was a star, but he never was a star. And frankly, him going to a team like Golden State where he's going to be the fourth option, that's the best role for Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins is a role player, and I think this is a good move for him to go to Golden State. Once they get healthy, you know, he's not going to be relied upon to carry a team, because if he does, everybody's going to remain disappointed. So, he's fine. I think it was time to move on. A guy like Beasley is going to play, like you said, chip on his shoulder. He's going to play hungry. And that's the kind of guy that this team needs.
Yeah. Is there anybody, and once again, it's so limited, and you'll get a better feel for it as they get more minutes. And, you know, for instance, Monday night in Toronto, and then they come home and play Charlotte before the break on Wednesday night at Target Center. And you'll have a chance to see these guys. Sounds like Jake Layman may be on the comeback trail. You forget about this guy, but, you know, he's a guy who's been around in the NBA and is a veteran guy who can shoot it a little bit and, you know, played pretty well before he got hurt and had that turf toe injury. So there's another guy you can't forget about. So I suppose right now for Ryan Saunders and Garrison Rosas and that entire staff is to figure out, okay, you know, who have we got that we can go into next season with, and what are the holes we need to fill? I mean, I think ultimately that's what they're going to evaluate over the final 31.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the exception of Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell, everybody else is getting an extended tryout. I mean, that includes the G League players. I mean, Jordan McLaughlin, how well did he play last night? And he sees the writing on the wall. He's like, okay, Russell is out. He's probably going to be back very soon. So I want to stay up here. I don't really feel like going back down to the Iowa Wolves in the G League. I want to stay up here and try to, you know, kind of carve out a little role for me. So, but everybody else besides those top two guys are going to be, you know, kind of evaluated. And some of the guys that got traded for and that are here now, you know, they might not be back here next year. So, but they're going to get a shot too. So, I mean, that's where we're at with this team. It's the two guys are pretty solidified moving forward, and everybody else is going to be kind of on a trial and error basis, I guess, and see where it goes. So if you play well, you got a chance to stick around here. If not, you might be out the door or back to the G League.
Yeah, what a week, what a bizarre week in a bizarre circumstance with all these moves, just one after another, and a lot of players, you know, sent out. We brought up Andrew Wiggins, you know, Jeff Teague, the trade came earlier, Robert Covington down to Houston, seems to be a good fit for Covington down there, and Gorgui Dieng in Houston, or Memphis, seems to be a good fit for Gorgui down there as well. He could thrive with the Grizzlies.
Well, the Wolves are going to miss him, and I don't know if you've looked at, that was a sad part of all this action last few days is Gorgui Dieng gone, because he's a good player and he's one of my favorite Timberwolves the last 10 years I've been doing this job. He's a great guy, great teammate, cared about winning, worked his butt off, was an important piece every time, you know, never bragged, never complained. And he had some gripes as far as when it came down to playing time too the last chunk of years. So, they'll miss him, but I think he's in a good spot. It's so interesting. You look at like Covington with Houston and them getting rid of Clint Capella, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I don't know. The Houston Rockets are an interesting team without Capella. I mean, Covington's going to help them for sure, but they are small. But that takes you back to the Wolves, Steve, how you look at the roster now, they just don't have a lot of big guys. I mean, I'm not saying 6'7" or 6'8". I'm seeing, you know, 7-foot guys. that they're going to need down the line here. So Towns is really the only one, and like I said, he's a bit undersized. So you look at the Wolves roster now, and it's basically filled with players between 6'4" and about 6'8" or 6'9", and it's almost the entire roster is built around players that are those sizes, which is interesting.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, always great. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it. You have a good day.
All right, there he is, Kevin Lynch, Fox Sports North, Timberwolves analyst. Known Kevin for a long time, good guy. And once again, Timberwolves, what a week. They're on the road at Toronto, the travel day today. We'll be on the air at 6, tip about 6:40, Alan Horton. And no word yet on whether or not availability for D'Angelo Russell tomorrow night in that game at Toronto. They come home before the break. They're home against Charlotte on Wednesday night. We'll get started there with the pregame show at 6:30 here on the home of the Timberwolves.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.